Appreciate being invited to speak again this morning. It's good to be back. We have had some good works being taking place in India. We've got a problem with the Telugu school, with so many other preaching schools being set up. And so we need some prayers on the Telugu school, but the Tamil school seems to be going quite well, and we still have about 30 students, and seems like the Spirit is very, very good. I'd love to hear the scriptures and love to learn more and are thrilled. Just recently, they requested another service for Sunday afternoon and gave me the assignment on the life of Christ. So I've got a new study to do, and I appreciate their desire to learn more. In the Lord's Word, we find many times where the Lord has acknowledged that Christians forget. Let's turn to Jude, the fifth verse, Jude chapter 1, verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believed not. So he says, I'll put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. We do have a tendency to forget. And the Lord wants us to be reminded. This was Timothy's job in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. He says, for this cause, here's the reason I've sent you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Timothy's job was to bring them into remembrance. Brother Bailey used to say, my forgetter is getting better every year. And we do. We learn how to forget. In John 14, verse 26, even the apostles had to have Jesus' word brought back to their remembrance because they're just like we are. They would forget. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, John 14, 26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And one of the reasons for bringing back to their remembrance was because they were witnesses. And so they had to remember what Jesus said in order to agree with the words the Holy Spirit inspired them to speak and to finally put into Scripture. So the apostles also had to be reminded. Then Philippians, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, Philippians 3 and verse 1, Paul saw the need to write the same things to the brethren. Now, whether he had written Philippians before or not, we don't know. But he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, indeed, is not grievous for me, but for you it is safe. So it is safe for us to be reminded of what we already know. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, many times Peter said this very same thing. 2 Peter 3 and verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So Peter wasn't telling them anything they didn't already know. They knew it. Then 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, he makes it even more clear. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, if he hadn't put them always in remembrance of these things, what would he have been? He said, I'll not be negligent. So what is the preacher's job then? Preacher's job is to remind us of many things that we already know. And then he acknowledges that in verse 12, though you know them, they already knew, and they were established in the present truth. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, that's fit, right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up. How's he going to stir them up? By putting them in remembrance. So what is our problem here? Our problem is that we forget. And then in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, his death, to have these things always in remembrance. So Christians need to have these things brought to their remembrance at all times. In Colossians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 10, we need to be reminded that we can grow in all knowledge, all spiritual understanding, and all wisdom. Paul is praying for them in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will," how? "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So they could get all knowledge and all spiritual wisdom and all understanding, but of course we need to be reminded of these things on a regular basis. In Proverbs, the first chapter, in verse 5, the Lord gives us a great number of verses to help us to grow in wisdom. And of course, it requires knowledge to be understood in order to get that wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 5, "A wise man will hear," he won't mind being reminded, "and will increase learning," he'll learn more. "And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So if we're a man of understanding, we're going to find counsel that is wise. And of course, that comes from the Word of God. And we'll be constantly reminding ourselves. Every time we read, we'll remind ourselves of all these truths in God's Word and His wisdom. Proverbs 19 and verse 27. The lesson this morning is going to be tailored to talk about the things that we should not do in order to grow in wisdom. And of course, if we do these things, then we can't grow in wisdom. So we need to understand what not to do first, as well as what to do. Proverbs 19, verse 27. He says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err for the words of knowledge." When we listen to man's word and combine that with God's word, it perverts God's word. And so many listen to psychology today. They think that men are rather wise. They don't understand what God understands, that all men live in wickedness. How can they be wise? He says, "Cease, my son, to hear that instruction." What instruction? The instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. We should not listen to man's word at all. It'll corrupt God's word. Back in Proverbs 1:25, we need to accept God's counsel. And so we need to be reminded of his counsel also. He says in wisdom speaking, "But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." We need to listen to this counsel if we're going to be wise. We need to listen to this reproof. In Daniel, the second chapter, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, God tells who he gives wisdom to. And so we need to start off with wisdom in order to grow in wisdom. We got to get this wisdom from God. Daniel 2:21, "He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. And he gives wisdom unto the wise." Then he also gives knowledge to those that know understanding. So we need to know understanding in order to get more knowledge, and we need to be wise in order to get more wisdom. So he says the same thing in Proverbs 2, verse 7, but another quality here. Here Daniel says he gives wisdom to the wise. Proverbs 2, 7, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Well, why would he give wisdom to somebody that's unrighteous, that's not going to obey the commands of God? There's no reason for that. So our determination then to grow in wisdom requires us to grow in wisdom. And to do that, we must be righteous. We must obey the commands of God. So that needs to be our mind as we seek for more wisdom. In Proverbs 1, verse 23... Proverbs 1, verse 23, wisdom says, "Turn at my reproof." All right, there's our part. And if we'll turn at her reproof, and reproof, of course, as Brother John mentioned this morning, is being told that we've done something wrong. And we need to be willing to acknowledge the wrong that we've done when someone points it out that we've done wrong. So wisdom then points out what we've done wrong and says, turn. We need to listen to what she says and turn from the wrong. And if we do that, she says, then I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known unto you my words. So in order to gain the spirit of wisdom and the words of wisdom, we've got to listen to reproof. So it's obvious that if we're going to grow, something's got to change. If we're going to grow in wisdom, we've got to find out what to change. And in 2 Timothy 2, he tells us some of the things that we need to change as a general rule. So this is what we need to do, 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. All right, here's your key. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man purge himself, here's what we need to get rid of. Well, if we don't know what we're doing wrong, how can we get rid of it? Somebody has to tell us what we're doing wrong. And of course, man can't do that. He doesn't have the wisdom. But the one that created us and the one that created wisdom can tell us how to purge ourselves and what we need to get rid of. In Proverbs 19 and verse 27, we just read that a little while ago. The first thing we need to do is to cease from hearing the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. What has man done in the last 6,000 years to gain wisdom? Well, we find two particular, they're not sciences, I guess philosophies or whatever you want to call them, but they're not sciences. They're not based in knowledge. They're based in guess, and that is philosophy and psychology. And philosophy is changing constantly. The Roman Catholic Church in 1962, it's good to note that in the Vatican II Council, which took place for a period of 4 years, the Roman Catholic Church changed the philosophy. They had been following Thomas Aquinas, which followed Scholasticism, which was following Plato. Now they're consciously turning away from Plato and turning to Aristotle, Roman Catholic Church. And Aristotle did not believe in God. He had an excuse for God, but here is the Roman Catholic Church, a religion, turning to Aristotle that doesn't believe in God. Well, philosophy does the same thing, not just in a church, but our philosophies have changed over the years. How many philosophies now have been in the world since Christ? And if you look at it, there have been about 30 or 40 of them, and different nations take on different philosophies, and today we got the philosophy of progressivism and a few other philosophies. But what about psychology? Well, psychology is very, very recent. And it's recent enough until psychology is the study of the soul. Well, the ones that study psychology today don't believe in soul. So, psycho is the word they get psycho from, which is the word soul. And they are trying to study the mind. Well, they should call themselves noologists or phrenologists, but that word is stolen by another study. So man's wisdom just constantly changes over and over. Why would we at any time put our faith in the wisdom of man? He says, cease to hear from the instruction that turns from God's wisdom. God doesn't change. His wisdom, we're reading it here in Proverbs, 2,000 years old, no, 3,000 years old, and it's still true today. God's wisdom doesn't change, but man's wisdom does. So we need to purge ourselves from these. That's the first thing we need to do, is get rid of all of man's wisdom, because it's been proven over and over and over again, man's wisdom is not wise. It's foolishness, and that's why men turn away from it. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 19 through 21, the Corinthians had to be reminded. 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 21. They were in the nation where wisdom was the ultimate. Athens was the center of wisdom in that time. They were in Corinth, about 100 miles away. He says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Well, what about the wisdom they had back there at Athens? What do we do with that now? Well, these people are all following it. But what do we think of that wisdom now? We think that's total foolishness. Well, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So notice that. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. Well, if we're going to have God's blessing after we leave this world, we need to know God's wisdom. We need to know God. We need to know how to please Him. Well, God says that through His wisdom, He's destroyed the wisdom of the world, so man's wisdom cannot know God. We all know Isaiah 55:8-9. We're not going to go there, but he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." So what about all this wisdom and philosophy today? Those thoughts are not God's thoughts. And so we need to turn away from them. So he gives many more teachings, especially in chapter 2. And Paul then in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, "Which things," talking about God's wisdom, "also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So Paul made up his mind he was not going to speak any of man's wisdom. Well, the world says that God chose Paul because of his great wisdom. He chose Moses because of his great wisdom. Well, both of them rejected the wisdom of God. They turned fully away from it. Paul said, "As far as I'm concerned, it's what you can throw to the dogs." But we need to have the same mind and turn from man's wisdom in order to turn to God's wisdom. All right, in Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 10 through 19, the second major thing we need to turn from is all covetousness. And he goes on to tell his son not to join with these people of the world. Well, in verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the life of the owners thereof." Those that are covetous have their souls taken away from them. God will not work with those that are covetous. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 6:9-10, he says, "They that will be rich," not the rich, but those that will be rich, the ones who are wannabes, they want to be rich. They're the ones that fall into the temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition, destruction and perdition. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." We're finding that in politics today, aren't we? How that money is constantly corrupting. But it's not just politics. Anyone who desires to be rich is going to be corrupted by these material things. So that's another thing we need to turn away from. In Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the life of the owners thereof." And then in verse 22, Proverbs 1, verse 22, a third thing which we must turn away from is simplicity. Simplicity comes from the word simple. And if we're simple, of course, we're not wise. If we're simple, we don't know much. And so he asks the question in verse 22, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity?" Well, you know, our young people, especially when it comes to being forced to learn all these things in the world, it's a lot easier just to sit there and look at the page and not study anything and be happy with what we are. I'm wise enough as I am. I don't need anything else. Well, we're loving simplicity. If we don't love simplicity, what are we going to do with those books when we have them out? Well, we need to learn material things in order to deal with material things, but that's not the wisdom of God. Nevertheless, we need to learn how to count. We need to learn how to do several things that will be of service to other people. And if we love simplicity, what are we going to do? We're just going to read and look at the page and not do anything. But if we're diligent and seek and learn these skills so we can use them for others, then we'll be useful and we won't love simplicity. Well, the same thing applies in the scriptures. If we're as wise as we need to be, we're going to be looking at the scriptures and say, yeah, I need to read the Bible more. And then what? We won't do it. But if we're not simple, we'll be seeking for more and more of the wisdom of God. And we'll no longer be satisfied and feel good because of simplicity. Feels good just to sit there and do nothing, doesn't it? Well, that's loving simplicity. And we need to turn away from that. Proverbs, the 8th chapter and verse 5. O you simple, understand wisdom. And then Proverbs 1, verse 32, Proverbs 1, verse 32, the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So the simple must labor to see the parts of wisdom and value enough to retain them. We need not to love simplicity. Proverbs 14, verse 15, it's easier just to believe everything you're told. And he says, Proverbs 14, 15, the simple believe every word, but the prudent look well to his going. We don't just accept everything just because somebody says something. We check it out. And if we're going to check it out, we can't be simple. But if we're simple, we just believe everything we hear. Proverbs 19, verse 25, he says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that understands, and he will understand knowledge. So here's a scorner, and he says, if you smite that scorner, the simple is going to open his eyes. Well, that's strange, but nevertheless, it's a truth. The simple will beware if you smite the scorner. So what do we do with the scorner? Well, that's the fourth thing we need to turn away from. Proverbs 1 and verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning? As long as we're scorning, we cannot grow in wisdom. Why? Because behind scorning is pride. If I scorn something, I feel like I'm above it. That's pride. If I love my neighbor as myself, that's humility. I can identify with him. But a scorner always looks down on others. And it makes us feel good. Just like simplicity makes us feel good, pride makes us feel good, anger makes us feel good. Scorning is one of the best ways to feel good. And it's because we feel like we're better than others. So it's pride that actually makes us feel good. In Proverbs, the 9th chapter, and verse 7, Proverbs 9, verse 7, he that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. So if we reprove a scorner, what's going to happen? The scorner's going to turn on us and pour his scorn out on us. He's going to despise us. Well, we don't want to despise others. God says that he scorns the scorner. And a scorner seeks wisdom, but he can't find it. In Proverbs 13, verse 1, it is not possible for a scorner to hear a rebuke. He says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner hears not rebuke. Well, that's how we grow in wisdom, is by hearing a rebuke. Well, as long as we're scorning, then we're not going to listen to a rebuke. So we can't grow in wisdom. So we've got to get rid of our scorning and stop feeling like we are better than others. In Proverbs 14, verse 6, a scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not, but knowledge is easy to him that understands. So we've got to get rid of our scorning. In Proverbs 15, verse 12, a scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go to the wise. So a scorner is not going to be corrected. He despises being corrected. Proverbs 19 and verse 25, we read, "Spite a scorner, the simple will beware." So when the scorner sees somebody is being corrected, it helps the simple, but it doesn't help the scorner. The scorner scorns the scorn. In Proverbs 22 and verse 10, he says, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." So where does all this fighting come from? It comes from pride. Pride that makes someone feel like they're better than others. And how many of us don't scorn something? You know, they talk about racism today and how one nation feels like they're better than everybody else. How are they judging? They're judging by the outer man. If we judge by the inner man, we're going to consider every soul as to whether they're wise or whether they're foolish, whether they're simple or whether they're seeing where they're going. We'll discern their inner man and we'll judge according to the inner man. So it's not possible for a faithful Christian to be a racist. We are going to judge by the inner man of the heart. In Proverbs 29, verse 8, "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath." So what does the scorner end up with? He ends up with wrath. So it's so easy to scorn. It makes us feel good, but it really doesn't help us. It hurts us. So Proverbs 24, verse 9, it's strange that the thought of foolishness is sin, that the scorner is an abomination to men. So even though it makes us feel good, what does everybody think about us if we scorn? Scorner is an abomination to men. Men hate us, and they hate other scorners. In Proverbs 3, verse 34, is God going to give wisdom to somebody that he scorns? Well, God is far above us, so he can scorn us rightfully. And Proverbs 3, verse 34, surely he scorns the scorner, but he gives grace unto the lowly. Well, as we think about our eternal salvation, men are given many, many different doctrines today, and most people scorn the scriptures when the scriptures are given to them. But in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." How do we respond to that? Are we scorning it, or are we listening to what God says? If we're scorning it, we reject it. If we listen to it, we'll consider very carefully. "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, he tells us, "Baptism doth also now save us." Are we going to scorn it, or are we going to listen to it? But is it true? It's in God's Word. We shouldn't scorn the truth of God. "Baptism doth also now save us." And he told Paul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Did Paul despise the Word of God? No, he arose and was baptized and washed away his sins according to the command of God. So we can't be saved if we're a scorner. We can't grow in wisdom if we're a scorner. And we need to turn away from these evil things and purge ourselves from these in order to grow in God's wisdom. And once we become a child of God, God will help us. He'll work with us. He'll chasten us. He'll rebuke us. He'll direct us. He'll do all these things for us. So God is ready if we're ready. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and wash away your sins, we're ready to help you to obey the Lord. If you need the prayers of the church, then we would encourage you to respond at this time while we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother? A place in his sanctified throne. Why not? Why? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but His way. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now?
It's good to see each and every one here this morning, and let's all look forward to being back this evening. Before Brother John runs to the back, we're going to ask him to come to the front to lead us in our closing prayer. Brother Michael's out this morning, so we'll pick somebody. But let's remember to pray for the many that are on our sick list, and it's very good to see each and everyone here this morning. Let's continue to encourage each other.